My name is John Walden. I want you to study with me a little more in the book of Jude. We've been going through this verse by verse, and we have now reached verse 10. The book of Jude, with only 25 verses, is a very pertinent piece of literature. It's just as up-to-date, just as modern as today's newspaper. The things that were happening in the first century have continued to happen, have increased at such a rate that the apostasy, the turning away from the Word of God, and the consequent immorality, which is described in the book of Jude, is even more true in the 20th century. We have been reading about some people, three classes of people, illustrating the evil workers and, as Peter speaks of them, evil teachers also. And he says in verse 10, these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. We're talking about some people who are wrong. First of all, they are wrong in their thinking. They know not. Now, there's no responsibility placed upon a person who is ignorant if there was no way of his knowing. But if he is willfully ignorant, then he has no excuse. And we're told very plainly in Peter's second epistle, which is very much like Jude, we're told, for this they willingly are ignorant of. People willingly are ignorant of God's things. This is a great responsibility. You can buy a Bible for a dollar or a dollar and a half, and some of you have never even read it through. This is God's message to the world. Don't be willingly ignorant. Secondly, they not only were ignorant of God's ways, but they were unwilling to be what God intended them to be. He put us here to be men. He gave us spirits. We're not like the brute beasts. We can have fellowship with God. But we've turned away from God, and we know only the things that are known naturally. We're not interested in spiritual things. This is the indictment against the world. And then the third thing said about them is that they corrupt themselves. Now, to corrupt is to make rotten. I know that isn't a nice word, and I know that someone's going to get his feelings hurt by my saying this, but I'm reading it to you from the Word of God. In these things, they corrupt themselves. A corrupt mind, for all sin starts in the mind, starts with a thought, an evil thought. Corrupt mind can only produce corrupt actions, which will eventually corrupt the whole character. There's only one solution for it. Anything that is corrupting is dead. But the Lord wants to give us life. You remember that Lazarus was in the grave 4 days, and his sister didn't even want the grave open. She said, he's been dead 4 days, and by this time he stinketh. The Lord had them take the stone away, and then he called him back to life. The Lord can take a corrupt sinner and make out of him what he wants him to be. Now, verse 11 pronounces a woe. This is one of only two woes in the New Testament found outside of the Gospels and the book of the Revelation. It's not a common word. It's a very solemn word. Woe unto them. Sorrow be to people like this. Why? First of all, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Secondly, they have run greedily after the order of Balaam for reward. And thirdly, they have perished in the gainsaying or backtalk of Korah. First of all, Cain. What do we know about Cain? Well, we have his history in the 4th chapter of Genesis. He was the first man born into this world. Adam and Eve, his parents, were created. The first man born was Cain. His name means gotten from the Lord. When Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord promised a Messiah. He promised that he was going to send a Savior. When Cain was born, Eve evidently thought that the Savior had come. What an awful mistake. He turned out to be a murderer and not a savior. Cain was not an irreligious man. We must never think of Cain as being a person who had no thoughts of God and no interest in God's things. He was religious. When the time came to offer a sacrifice, and God had explained the need for sacrifice, he taught it in furnishing the first garments for Adam and Eve, for when they had sinned against the Lord and realized their nakedness and made for themselves fig leaf aprons, God made for them coats of skin, necessitating the death of animals in order that they might be clothed and made fit for God's presence. And Cain and Abel were taught the way of sacrifice. We know this from Hebrews 11 and 4, where he tells us, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, the only way you can do anything by faith is to do it because you believe God's word and you believe what God says. So God did say what they should do, but Cain decided to take his own way. And that's what is called in verse 11 of the book of Jude, the way of Cain. Now, the way of Cain is the way of self-righteous religion. No blood sacrifice. He brought to God the fruit of the ground. He was a dirt farmer. Abel was tending sheep. However, there were sheep enough for both of them, because after Cain had offered his sacrifice of his own good works, the things that he had produced out of the ground, and the ground had been cursed, don't forget that. God had cursed the ground for man's sake. And what he brought to God was the fruit of a cursed earth and the fruit of his own labor. But after he had done this, God said to him, if thou hast not done well, the Revised Version says, there is a sin offering crouching at your door. You can take that little lamb and offer it. It isn't too late. But Cain would not have God's way. He did not want an animal sacrifice. Now, you know, of course, that the blood of animals never put away sin. We're told this plainly in the book of Hebrews. They simply covered sin over. We might say they paid the interest, but never paid anything on the principal. By offering these animal sacrifices, the people showed that they were expecting the true Lamb of God to come into this world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And Romans 3 tells us that the Lord Jesus died for the sins that are past through the forbearance of God, that is, sins that were committed before the cross. Abel offered a sacrifice of a lamb. The lamb didn't take away his sins, but it covered his sins until the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and then his sins were taken away, put away. And we're told, by this sacrifice, he being dead, yet speaketh. Cain then made the terrible mistake of offering his own works to God for salvation. Now, maybe I hear somebody saying, after all, if we don't save ourselves, who's going to save us? Isn't it up to us to do the best we can and try to make up for the things that are wrong? And if our good deeds outweigh our bad ones, won't we be saved at the last? Oh, my friends, that's the religion of Egypt. The Egyptians have a picture of something like that on one of their tombs, showing the soul of man being weighed over against his good works. It's very good heathen religion. It isn't the teaching of the Bible at all. Salvation is by grace, through faith. We're told this very plainly in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And we're told in Titus 3, 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Salvation is through the precious blood of Christ. And when you're willing to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, God will take your sins away for the sake of his Son who died in your place. But there's one other thing about the way of Cain that we mustn't overlook. In 1 John 3 and verse 12, we're told that we are not to be like Cain, who was of the wicked one. That is, he was a child of the devil. And he killed his brother Abel. And why did he kill him, this verse says? Because Abel's deeds were righteous and his own were wicked. So, not only does self-righteousness not produce salvation, but it brings a hatred of those who are saved. Listen, if you go on as an unsaved sinner, if you go on as a religious person, trusting in your own good works, you'll find yourself hating those who are truly born again. You will find yourself hating the preaching of the gospel. Maybe someone is just about ready to tune me out now because he thinks, why, this man is very conceited to say there's only one way to be saved, through accepting Christ. Well, this is what the Bible says. Our Savior himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't show any hatred against those who believe in the Lord. Just acknowledge yourself to be wrong and turn to the Lord for salvation, for there's still salvation offered. A wonderful lesson can be learned here, the lesson of substitution, the lesson that Christ died in my place, that taking my place on the cross, he put away my sins by the sacrifice of himself. This is the lesson for unbelievers. There's a good lesson here for Christians, too. Expect persecution. The world is still full of kings, of religious people without Christ. Expect persecution. For the next verse in 1 John 3 says, marvel not if the world hates you. Our Savior said that just before he went to the cross. And 60 years later, the Spirit of God had John write it down in the third chapter of his first epistle. And it's still true in the 20th century. Marvel not if the world hates you. Expect persecution, because you have taken sides with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the right side to be on. Congratulations if you're one of his own. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we ask it to bless it to each one now. We pray that if any conviction has been wrought, that salvation will follow. We pray that thy children will go on well for thee, that many will be won for Christ. And we pray in the precious